Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. Joining me today is Dr. David Maines, the Executive Director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, you get to visit a lot of churches, far more than I do anyway. Are the services coordinated, or is it still pretty much a lot of unrelated parts?
Well, my answer to you is that no, they aren't coordinated. I'm not sure that a minister listening to us right at the moment would understand what we mean by that. When you say coordinated, you're thinking that it's just one whole unit and everything fits together beautifully. And I'm not even sure that defines exactly where we're headed. I tend to see most church services as unrelated parts. It's each individual doing his or her own shtick, if you please. Mm-hmm. And how the pieces fit together is irrelevant. So if a soloist is going to sing, they may pray and say, "Lord, please direct me to what I ought to sing this morning." Or they may just say, "My voice sounds good on that song." No one knows why they chose what they chose. The hymns, strangely enough, the hymn is not chosen as a good response to the sermon that was preached or as a good prelude to the sermon. It just nothing fits together. It drives me nuts, really, to be in a service like that. And the truth is most services are that way. So it's unfortunate. Still that way.
What's the reason why most churches don't have coordinated or well-integrated worship services?
There's one overwhelming reason, and if there are others, you know, it doesn't even matter. And that is most ministers don't have their sermon thrust early enough for the rest of the church to be able to build the service around that sermon theme. So if the pastor is still working on the sermon theme, say Thursday or Friday before the Sunday it's going to be preached, it's impossible. It's just too late to put the other pieces together. You have to work ahead of time, and you have to get some kind of a system that says, this is where I'm going, and I'm not going to change. And at that point, the rest of the people can say, okay, we can now figure out how we're going to fit into that. But most people who preach are not in that kind of a situation. In fact, a lot of times when I'm asked to go to a place, they never ask me what I'm going to preach on. So it's irrelevant what I'm going to preach on as far as them putting the service together. Now, I just had an experience which is the exact opposite of that, but an unusual experience. In this case, they said, we would like you to come, but this is the passage we want you to preach on. And we would like for you to tell us ahead of time exactly what you're going to say so that we can build the service around it. Well, that just, you know, hit all of my buttons. I was very happy with that. And they said, you know, we're going through a series on Hebrews 11, which is the whole passage is on faith. And we would like for you to take the verse on where Joshua marched around the walls of Jericho, and by faith, the walls fell down. Now, do you have a sermon? And I said, I haven't preached on that ever that I remember. They said, well, if you come, that's what we'd like you to preach on, and you may not have enough time to get an original sermon, but that's our request, and if you can't do it, we understand. In other words, if you can't do that, we don't want you to come, which was interesting. So it was a challenge, and I took it on, and then they called me, one of the staff members, the music director, called me and said, can I get now where you are going? And I said, okay, yes, I got that. And I said, you know, Hebrews basically says, that chapter says, people of faith believe that God exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. That's the thrust of that whole chapter. So because I have the one on Joshua, I'm going to say massive walls fall before people who believe that God exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And I said, what I'm going to do is spend a lot of my sermon on what it means to earnestly seek him. And he asked me further questions, and that was it. And then when I got there, that was a fantastic service. In fact, I almost felt like when I got up to preach, man, it's going to be hard to top what they have done, because they chose a theme of worship. They said they were praising God that he is all-powerful, which was wonderful for the prelude to me talking about how massive walls can fall down. In fact, they sang, you know, our God is an awesome God, and they had a guy who played saxophone. He was a African-American fella, and he played Joshua Fit the Battle of Jericho, you know, and he played, and then all of a sudden, And the last refrain, he put two saxophones in his mouth. He played on both of them at the same time. And it was really amazing, you know. But and everything, the choir, everything was just coordinated. And I got up, I felt so fortunate. In fact, I thought, boy, I really worked on this sermon. I hope it's good enough. Because they have done such a marvelous job. And those are very thrilling times for me, but they're unusual.
So let's define what the process would look like if a church wanted to have a more coordinated or themed worship service.
Well, the minister would have to say, I'm going to have to do something I probably wasn't taught in seminary. I'm going to have to figure out how my sermon thrust can be reduced to a few words so it can be communicated to others who are working on the service along with me. And I basically say to pastors, all you have to do is make sure that you know what your subject is and the response you're going for. If you can say, this is my subject and this is the response I want, how you put the rest of the sermon together really won't matter to me as long as you don't change your subject and your response. Because at that point, we as a group, whether I'm a volunteer in a lay group or whether I'm a consultant coming in or whatever, we can put the rest of the pieces together. And we can even check with you and say, is this going to fit with where you're going? I've taught coordinated services a lot, and it's difficult to do that because churches are very different. If you go in and they're all, say, Salvation Army people, or they're all Reformed Church, or they're all Brethren, they have somewhat a similar grouping of how they do services. But if you get a group of all different, say, 15 different denominational backgrounds, then it's hard. So you have to figure out, how can I communicate to this group what I'm talking about? So I always say, I'm going to set up an arbitrary service. It's not how you necessarily do it, but you can understand at least what I'm saying. So we're going to start with worship, attributing worth to God. We're going to say, the first part of the service, we're going to be talking to God and praising him for what we know him to be. So let's figure out what we put in there. Now, how you call that or what form you use doesn't matter. Then we're going to have a time when God speaks to the people through his written word, and that may be through a sermon, it may be through scripture reading, it may be whatever, but the direction of the service is that at that point, God's speaking to the people, and then we're going to have a time at the end when it's us responding to God. So worship, us vertically speaking to God about who he is, God speaking to us from his word, and then us responding. So those are the three parts. Now, how we're going to fit those three parts in terms of specifics, that's what we're going to work on together. So I have some kind of an understanding that everybody puts aside their tradition, and they say, okay, we can work on it this way, and we can understand it, and then adapt it to whatever our tradition is. Did I lose you?
No, not at all. That all makes sense to me. It's possible to put together a coordinated worship service, but the key element of that is going to be the pastor planning far enough ahead where he gets his subject in response and is able to succinctly communicate where he's going in his sermon so that the other people that are working on the service can put those elements together. Now, a question that arises is, what if someone is thinking, hey, my service is completely liturgical. Maybe I'm a prayer book tradition church where I'm going to follow the liturgy and the prayer book where the format is fixed. So this, what you're talking about just doesn't apply to me.
Well, you're playing a role, and you are kind of in a liturgical setting sometimes, aren't you?
Well, we're not prayer book tradition, though, which is a much more rigid. But yeah, I'm saying, hey, I've got my service is all laid out in the prayer book, so I don't have any flexibility at all. So how can this possibly apply to me?
And I'm saying to you, I got your number, pal. Because I've been in a lot of those services. I've preached in all kinds of different churches, and you're still singing hymns, and your hymn still doesn't relate to your sermon, you know, and you're still reading scripture, and somehow you have options as to scriptures you're going to read, and you still haven't coordinated it with what you're doing. You can have a liturgical service, and praise God for those, because there is a certain format that people understand, and there's a sequence they follow, but there are elements of that liturgical service still that should be planned well. And even in a liturgical service, you can add elements and subtract elements as you want. I mean, you could have a liturgical dance as far as that goes. And if I say, would you be totally opposed to that? They say no. But I say, there are a lot of ways to dance and worship to the Lord, but you want to get, you don't want to have a wild frenzy dance, and then you're talking about how to be a contemplative person or something. You want all of the pieces to fit together. Actually, it's easier for the person in a liturgical service to do what I'm talking about.
Yeah, the truth is the prayer book has already coordinated massive elements of the service.
Praise the Lord, right.
And that's the key. The pastor then has to make certain that he or she perceives the assemblage that the prayer book people have used to put the service together. It's not arbitrary. It was extremely thoughtfully and carefully done. So now where you then do plug in the elements that are subject to individual selection.
Which could be a prayer.
Could be prayers. Mm-hmm. It could be choral pieces.
Yes.
It could be an instrumental selection. Even the sermon itself, this is the wise pastor preaching from the prayer book tradition is going to carefully discern what the direction that the prayer book is leading in that particular service and make certain that his or her sermon is well coordinated with that theme that's already been stated in the prayer book.
I like you. I like you, Dean. You affirm what I'm saying.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, we hope that this has been helpful to those of you listening to us today about coordinating church services. We're talking about a coordinated church worship service where all the parts are interrelated and it's built around the key truth being preached.
You know, a lot of ministers, Dean, see their role as preaching a sermon, and that's not their responsibility. It is their responsibility. Because if it's not being done, then they're the ones who are to initiate, say, how do we make these things fit together more? But ministers have to think not just sermon, they have to think sermon as a part of the service. And at that point, then we're into what we're talking about. And it makes such a colossal difference to the people who are attending the service.
Yeah, it's interesting that you use that particular phrase that they have to think that the sermon is part of a service.
Yes.
In certain consulting that I do, we call that holistic thinking, H-O-L-I-S-T-I-C. And holistic thinking or holism says that the sum of the parts have greater power
because of
the way they are interrelated together than the individual parts would be if they were simply taken and presented either randomly or sequentially. So the power comes from the interrelationship of those parts.
Wonderful. Yeah, exactly.
So we're asking pastors to think holistically about the ministry and the worship service so that they're thinking about the overarch of the service as well as their normal on-stage spotlight, which is on them during the sermon.
Yeah, well said.
We appreciate you being with us today for our podcast. And as always, we invite you to visit our website, sermoncoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We have lots of resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. We also invite you to come back and join us again for our next podcast.